very serious time, but exciting time as well. And it's a great opportunity and privilege to be here to speak to you at this time. What I'm speaking about is a message titled Heavenly Citizens. And it's crucial, of course, because more and more we are having to think about what is happening around us. People are dying. People are falling sick. It could happen to anybody, but we pray and we keep praying in the name of Jesus that all of us will be shielded and will be protected, that we will live to glorify the name of our God. So we are fine in that respect, but there is eternity and there is heaven and there is heavenly citizenship. There's earthly citizenship, you know, you belong to certain countries and things like that. But much more importantly, there's heavenly citizens. And what I'm hoping to do today is for us to look at that a little bit closer and examine ourselves, make some resolutions, and hopefully carry it forward. But the Bible is very clear in its description of what the Bible calls heavenly citizens. The Bible is very clear how we qualify to call ourselves heavenly citizens. The Bible is clear about what we should expect if we know that we are heavenly citizens. The Scriptures also gives us several examples. You see, there's no excuse for us, because all over the Scriptures, we have examples of who you will refer to as heavenly citizens. Okay, so starting from Adam, when Adam was first created before the fall of man, he was heavenly citizen. It's the fall into sin that separates him from God and separates us from God. So if you think about when you start reading your Genesis from the beginning, how Adam was living, you know, tending the garden, having daily conversation with God, that is heavenly citizen. And then the book of Hebrews, when you go to chapter 11, gives a whole list of people. You have Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, some you might not have heard of, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. All of these are examples in the Scriptures that you can go back. We can go back and look at their lives and say, what can we gain from these people's lives? How they live their lives so that we might be able to call ourselves heavenly citizens as well. We are studying the letters of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is another example that we can say is an heavenly citizen. The way he lived his life, the way he finished his race. But most importantly, among all of these names, or above all of these names, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the complete and perfect example that we must all look unto. Keep our eyes on him. Look how he lived that 33 1/3 years that he lived on earth, and we should try to emulate everything that he did. Then, as he is in heaven right now, we can then call ourselves heavenly citizens as well. But don't let us deceive ourselves. The Bible is also clear about the other choice that we could make, and that I'll be asking and checking all of us today, have we made the right decision? The Bible is very clear about earthly citizens, okay, who will later become citizens of hell, okay? They say the churches don't preach about hell anymore because you don't want to scare people. But it is the reality. And we must not shy away with it. If the only citizens that we can refer to, that you can refer to, is your nations of birth or the passport you carry, apart from being an heavenly citizen, then those are the people that God will judge, God people that will go to hell and will burn in the fire of eternity. These are the people who lived and continue to behave in a manner that God, you know, said deserves his wrath. And we'll read a bit about them later on, so you can make sure you stay away from being those kind of people. So it is a matter of eternal consequence that all of us clearly understand the possible two citizenships we can have, that we can give allegiance to, that we can give priority to. You either is or are an heavenly citizen, or you are an earthly citizen. I pray that today, after listening to this message, that we will reposition ourselves to make sure that we are indeed heavenly citizens. And I pray the Holy Spirit will help us today. In Jesus' name. I know I have a short time, but I want to just quickly go back to what has been taught in the last two messages here, because it's important to catch up on those. And please, as we are saying, apart from the virus situation, pandemic we have, if you miss church, please go and listen to the message, because the next message might be carrying forward from what was taught, so you can actually understand the whole breadth of what we are teaching in the church. So 2 weeks ago, on the 1st of March, there was a message preached titled, No Confidence in Human Efforts. And what that basically said to us was that our salvation is only through faith in Jesus, through the finished and complete work of our Lord Jesus Christ. No one is able to, you know, earn their salvation either by, my father was a pastor, or I came from a very deep Christian family. Nobody can earn salvation that way. On the other hand, no one can earn salvation by the work we do for God. If you stay in the church and you are a cleaner or a pastor and you do everything for the church every day of your life, that will not earn you salvation. It is only by the grace of God. It is through having faith in Jesus Christ, believing in Him, that is how we earn salvation. So, it is not placing any confidence on human effort. And then last week, we had the message again, thank God, about pressing on towards the goal. And it was clear to me, I hope it was clear to you. If not, please go back and listen to the message. There is no contradiction in the fact saying salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And again, salvation, you have to press on. You have to work hard. Work your salvation with fear and trembling. There is no contradiction. We learn from the passage that we read that we need to keep pressing on towards the goal. We learn not to be complacent, you know, to take responsibility to grow in character, in service, through obedience to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God as we read it. There is no contradiction. You gain the salvation by having faith in God. Pastor mentioned it again this morning. We are justified through faith in Jesus. That is the justification. That's what brings us into God's kingdom. But some people will fall away. And in order not to fall away from that salvation that we've already earned through Jesus, then we have to press on. As long as we keep pressing Him, then we are sure that we are saved. If we fail to press on, even we will have lost our heavenly citizenship and we will not realize it. So we need to be careful that once we are saved, then we keep working, we keep pressing on. That's the sanctification process. We keep getting sanctified, being changed in the knowledge, in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where we should all be. Okay. The entire goal, we will win the race when we have been glorified. That's when we will know that we have won the race. Okay, even Apostle Paul himself, he was still pressing on despite everything that he has done for Christ, for the kingdom of God. He was still pressing on to the end. So that should be our goal too. And that's what we should be looking forward to. So my preach here this morning is to help us to look forward, to make sure we are okay, we are being sanctified, we haven't fallen away, and then to start looking ahead to what's going to happen when eventually we are glorified. So, Let's read the Bible passage for today. And if you can see the screen, should we read it together? I think that's helpful. We are reading from Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 21. Okay. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. Amen. So as the scripture said, and as Apostle Paul is encouraging us to do in this message, he said, let us follow, let us all join together and follow Apostle Paul's example. Apostle Paul himself follows somebody else. He followed Jesus' example. So that's why he's encouraging us to follow him, because we can see him, follow what he is doing, and then through that we follow in Jesus. He said it, he said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So that's what that passage is saying to us. So we'll be looking at some of the characteristics that we need to copy. What we read also said, but our citizenship is in heaven. But Apostle Paul is not referring to everybody on the street, everybody in the world. He was talking to fellow disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. People who have already been saved, who have already accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. People who are already being sanctified, who are working towards, gaining the final, glory that we'll have when we get to heaven. So, Apostle Paul, like I said at the beginning, he didn't say that he's already arrived, at the goal and stopped working. He kept on pressing in to achieve the final goal. And that is what we should always do. But heavenly citizenship is a choice thing. People don't just, get given heavenly citizenship. We have to make a decision to accept it, and we have to make a decision to maintain it. And so many people, especially, I get surprised sometimes where people that you think they are Christians, they know God, they make certain statements. And one was recently where somebody said to me, we're all children of God. It's about all this virus thing. So God will not send any of these things to people because God is loving, God is kind. All that is true. We're all God's children. God will not allow this thing to happen to anybody. And I didn't say anything, but people there were able to ask her, is it truly, are we all truly God's children? And we are not, because some people have self-confessed that they are not children of God. Some people worship Satan. Are you going to call those people children of God? No, absolutely not. God is not a desperate father. Some desperate parents, they are so desperate for the love of their children that they will just keep saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, and bringing them closer when actually that child needs to be disciplined. Okay, so God is not like that. God is giving us a choice to make. And it says in the Bible, that all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You have to have that faith in Jesus. You have to keep, obeying Jesus for us to be able to call ourselves legitimately children of God. There are others that are not children of God. Okay, so I just want to divert a little bit and speak about earthly citizenship, you know, because that's relevant. I'm talking about heavenly citizenship, but let's take a look at what earthly citizenship means. And I know you must have thought about this a lot, because sometimes people said, "Where are you from?" And you think, "Well, what answer should I give?" Because it depends on who is asking, it depends on the context of which they are asking. That gives you an idea of what to say. Your answer may be, "I'm from St. Paul's Cray. I'm from Upington." You could say, "I'm from Nigeria, I'm from the United Kingdom, I'm from Europe." You know, so many answers can come. And sometimes we do have dual nationality, you know, you have two passports, so you're thinking, which one should I say here? That's all good. But, you know, your true belief in which citizen you belong to, it's within you, it's in your heart. And sometimes it comes out to, you know, to convict you, shall I say, if, for example, the two nations that you belong to, they play in a football match together. Who do you support, really? You know, that really tells you who you are in terms of citizenship. People choose, if they have a choice, they desire or choose a certain type of earthly citizen because of the benefits that they're going to get from that citizenship. Okay, so it could be like your right to vote, your right to benefit, it could be care and support. In this type of situation where we have pandemic all over the world, your citizenship, earthly citizenship, matters. Because some countries, they go to great extent to protect their people, to take their people from dangerous places. Whereas some nations, they either don't have the capacity to do it, or they don't care to do it. So, yeah, it makes sense for us as individuals to think, Which is my nation? Which is my nationality? Which is my citizenship that is important to me? But also we can think about, how do we get this citizenship that we have? Again, earthly citizenship. Some people are granted, if you are skilled, if you are a special profession, or you have something that a country needs, they will call you, they will beg you, they will give you that citizenship. Okay, it's because you are rich or you have a special skills they have. You might have to beg for it. If you are an asylum seeker or a refugee, you know, you have to beg another country to help you, to give you that citizenship. You may pay for it, different ways to pay for it. You might obtain that earthly citizenship by marriage, because you marry somebody. Or you might get it because of your parents. That's from heritage. You see, my children, and about 2 weeks ago, we were still renewing their passport. They have 3 passports, and they have a choice to choose whichever one they want to have. In fact, there was a time when I went to post it, when we completed the online form, and I went to the post office to post back the other 2 passports. And the post office lady said, "Why are you sending this back?" I said, "Because the passport office asked me to send it." She said, "Oh, why did you tell them? You shouldn't have told them that." I said, "They asked the question on the application. I have to tell the truth." But she said, "Don't tell them. I don't tell them anything." She said, even though people might have British citizenship, as we're in the UK, their true allegiance might be totally different. And that is why some people, even in this country, they don't care. They're ready to harm us, terrorists. They are ready to kill people because they don't care. Their citizenship belongs elsewhere. So it's really important to see, you know, how earthly citizenship works in relationship to heavenly citizenship. When a bit of my story, when I was born, growing up as a child, I used to say that I was an American mistakenly born in a different country. And my life actually reflected it, because I didn't like the food, I didn't like the traditional clothes they wear in that country. So I could feel that actually I don't belong. And I tried everything to try to gain that American citizenship, which if they give me money now, I won't even take it. Okay, but that's how desperate we are sometimes to get a certain citizenship, to get out of a different country, to get into another one. But God has something better for us. Okay, so what is the similarity? Why am I telling you about heavenly citizenship and then talking about earthly citizenship? Because they have similarities, which I'll quickly point out. Both have qualifying criteria. Okay, so before you get to British citizenship, for example, there are certain things you need to do and to have. For you to get heavenly citizenship, there are certain things you need to do. We've talked about it, faith in Jesus, pressing on towards the goal, and then you will get it. So it's clear, there's no problem about that. Both citizenship, whether earthly or heavenly, can be revoked. If you have a passport from a different country, if you meet certain criteria, they will take that passport from you. They will strip you of that citizenship. But again, they might not if you don't have another nationality. Most people that are stripped of their nationality, because governments of the world don't want to make you stateless. So you might have allegiance to another country, and they take one away from you and say, actually, you belong to that other country. It's the same with heavenly citizenship. It can be given away. You can choose to give it away, or it can be revoked if we form an allegiance to Satan, to the kingdom of hell. I pray that will not be our portion. So they both have qualifying criteria. They both can be revoked or can be given up. Allegiance can be faked. And this is true. As I said with my post office lady, she didn't love this country enough to tell the truth all the time. There are people that carry certain citizenship, but actually their allegiance is to another citizenship. It's the same with heavenly citizenship. It can be faked. We know the picture. We know, you know, how to do things that everybody will think this person is destined for heaven. But you know what? God knows the heart. The government of the heart of the world cannot know what we are thinking, but God knows the difference. If we confess that we are heavenly citizens, if we are not, well, our spirit will tell us if we allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. But most more importantly, God knows the difference between his children and those who are not his children. So they are similar, but there are still some differences. You know, as I said earlier, earthly citizenship can be inherited. Heavenly citizenship cannot. You cannot rely on anything or anyone. It's a one-to-one situation. Each person makes a decision, sticks with that decision to be heavenly citizens. Okay. Some people, my children don't like that picture because they said the person looks angry. The person, you know, when you are stressing towards a goal, when you know, exerting all your energy to reach the finish line, sometimes people might think, actually, you look angry. That's how they describe that picture. But the exertion of trying to get to the goal is what I'm trying to illustrate with that picture of the athlete trying to finish the race. You see, it is important, as we've said, that we need to carry on pressing to win the race. Okay? But why are we stressing? Why are we, you know, trying to do our best? Why are we working out our salvation with fear and trembling? What is there for us? It's good to ask, because if you don't know, what you might feel, actually, I'm not interested, you know, if you know what you are going to get. So I thought, let me share a few things about what we should expect as heavenly citizens. So the first thing I would like to say is that right now there's a benefit for us for being heavenly citizens, and especially now that the whole world is in chaos, that benefit will start to show, will start to shine, people will get to see it in us, because we are not limited by what is here on earth. God will give us complete true joy and peace. It's not based on anything. It's not based on the Dow Jones falling, the price of property falling. It's not based on that. The joy that we have, the peace that that surpasses all understanding, right here, right now, is available to us. And it is only available because we have the assurance of eternal life. We know this is not it. We are visitors. We're just passing by. You know, if we live 200 years, we like to quote that in this church, we will be begging God, please, I want to come home now. Okay, so we have right here, right now, if you are heavenly citizens, you have joy, you have peace, because you know you have a God who has got your back. Okay, so I'm not saying it's going to be hunky-dory, you know, everything will be smooth. That's why we're saying rejoice, you know, even at this time. That's what we are preaching this series on. Because Christ told us, Jesus warned us. He said, you know, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. This is John 16:33. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, God has overcome for us. He's delivered us. He set us free. We just have to put our faith and our hope in Him so we can enjoy all the benefits. And you can enjoy that because we have the Holy Spirit within us. So once we've given our life to Christ, we have a deposit of the full thing that we get later on. We have a deposit of it in our heart, in our life. And that is the Holy Spirit. And what fruit does the Holy Spirit give? You can read that in Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it says, against such things there is no law, there is no emergency law, there is no pandemic, there is no situation that will rob you from those things that the Holy Spirit gives you. And as we start to examine ourselves as individuals, these are things that will help us. Because if we find out that we don't have peace, if we find out that we are always angry, we are always anxious, that things, you know, kept going wrong in that way, then we need to come back to Jesus and say, Lord, you know, once you've given your life, once you've given your life, you don't have to do it more. But we might need to come back to our pressing on beat to say, Lord, maybe there are things I need to do more of to get closer, to make sure that I have that salvation in Jesus. So we have right now the joy, the love, the peace of God in our lives, if we are heavenly citizens. And okay, so I didn't talk about all the other things, you know, that God will add to you, you know, things of the world, whether a good job, good money. Those things are not important. But God will give them to us anyway, because He says, seek ye first, you know, His kingdom and His righteousness. And all those things the world are running after, God will add them to you. I just choose to focus on the spiritual, that the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of God, which no matter what you have, if you don't have those, you will still be miserable anyway. But the Holy Spirit gives us those things if we are His citizens. Okay, so but after death, you know, when we get that glorious body that we've read about this morning, we're going to have the heavenly bodies. Jesus will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious bodies. Why is that important? You know, why will you press on to have such a body? Okay? It's because this body is rubbish. You know, this body feels pain. This body, you know, is dying away, is rotting away. We need a different body that will be able to live in the new heaven, in the new earth that is going to come. That is why Jesus is going to transform our bodies, just like He was transformed as He rose from the dead. But I can't tell you a lot about this because even the Bible says in 1 John 3:2, He said, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So, I don't have the full answer. I don't think anybody has in terms of what we will transform to be. But what we know is that the new glorious body we have, there will be no pain, there will be no sickness, There'll be no need for doors. I like that, because you just arrive somewhere, as Jesus was doing. And I thought, my science thinking kicked in as I was preparing for this. I said, actually, there'll be no pollution of cars and vehicles and aeroplanes. And I think, as a scientist now, a former scientist, that if you stop all the pollution in this country and come back in this world and come back in 5 years, things will be transformed. And I thought, wow, that's how God created the earth at the beginning, before we destroyed it. But we won't need any pollution. There will be no pollutant at all. It's going to be a great time. Will you be there? Please make sure you are there. When the new heavens and the new earth come, there will be a position of service in the kingdom of God as heavenly citizens. We're not just going to be floating in the air like they describe fairies and angels. Okay? We're going to have a position of service in God's kingdom. And you can read that when you read Revelations, like Revelation 20, verse 4 and 5. Some people will rise from the dead, and then they will rule with Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus will come first and rule for 1,000 years on this earth. Some people will come up and rule with him, especially people who have been martyred, people who have been killed as a result of their testimony of Jesus Christ. They will be given a position to rule the world, the new world, with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. So there will be a position of service. We won't be lazy, we won't be bored, but whatever we do, we will be rejoicing. We will be happily serving God, worshiping God, and praising God. I'm going to go to practical application shortly, but before that, I just want to go back to the joy and peace that I mentioned at the beginning. I said, we're going to have right now joy and peace of God. But it's not complete because of the problem of our flesh, problem of ourself, our ego, problem of Satan, who is trying to destroy us, who is trying to take our heavenly citizenship from us. But that's only for now. From when Jesus returns in his second coming, that will be gone. We will be able to fully have everlasting joy and everlasting peace in God's presence, in the new earth and the new heaven. Okay, the Bible records that in 1 Corinthians 2:9, that what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. What God has prepared for us is mind-blowing. We can't comprehend it. But I just thought, a little thought came into my mind, that God who created the earth within 7 days, you know, the story of creation, and the earth was perfect. Imagine the same God who has eternity to prepare a place for me, a place for you. How beautiful, how wonderful, how complete would that be? I don't want to miss out on that. And I hope you do too. Okay, so there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There will be complete, purity. There will be complete holiness, because God's dwelling place will be among his people. That's how the Bible describes it. God will dwell with us in the new heaven and in the new earth. He said he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no more money, no more crying or pain. The old order of things, as we see it now, will have gone away. Those are the benefits we are looking for, brothers and sisters, that we can get a deposit, just a little bit of it. When you really worship God in truth and in spirit, you can feel that joy of God in your heart. And that's something to value. But that is small compared to when we finish the race. If we finish well, if we finish pressing on towards the goal, what a new world we're going to have. The new creation of the new earth and the new heaven. I was reading about that new Jerusalem, new earth, on Revelation 21. And when I read Bible, sometimes I make jokes to myself. And it says, On no day will its gates be ever shut, for for there will be no night there. Because, you know, everything will be bright. The light from God, from Christ, will shine through. There's no need for the sun or the moon. Everything is complete. And when I read there's no gate, I said, what do you need gate for? There's no thief. You don't even need to open the door. You just walk in. There's no need for gate. Praise God. God is good. So we know what we're aiming for. I hope you want to have it because I don't like, just like where I was born, I felt I didn't belong there. I know I don't belong here as well. I want to be with God so I can worship Him, so I can have this full joy and full peace of God that I read about in the Scriptures. Because the world is a really, really sad place. But whilst we are here, we have to do what God is calling us to do. We have to serve God, we have to help others, and we have to keep preaching the gospel so that others will have the same opportunity as us. So I'm going to finish very quickly with practical applications about what we need to do. And they are very quick because the first one, the main one, we've talked about it several times, believe and have faith in the complete and finished work of Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning or you are listening to me, you haven't made that decision, please do, because your eternity depends on it. This heart is perishing, it's going away. But those who believe in Christ, who have put their faith in Him, they will make it to eternity. I was having a haircut yesterday. I was having a debate with a Muslim Mubin who was cutting my hair. And he said, it doesn't make sense. There's no logic in it. There's no logic. How can God have a child? You know, all those kind of silly things. And I said, there's no logic in it because it's God. You cannot understand it except God opens your heart to see Him and to know this Jesus. I pray that God will reveal Himself to that man. So that's the passion we should have for other people that are not saved. You know where they're going. You know where you are going. Let us keep praying and helping others. But first, we have to make sure that we are saved, that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And then I thought about things that we need to do to press on. Things that we need to do every day to make sure we are in the right with God, that we retain our heavenly citizenship. First, we need to put to death the earthly nature, things that people take for granted. The Bible describes it in Colossians 3, 5 to 10. It says, I'll give some quick examples of what I've said, what we used to do when we're not heavenly citizens, but we are now, so we should stop. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from our lips. We must not lie to each other. Okay? We have put on the new self in Jesus, so we should get rid of those things that are of the heart. First thing, we have to do that daily. We have to watch ourselves. If we are doing things that we know, actually this is not of God, we need to intentionally stop it. The second thing, we need to renew our mind every day because the flesh and the world and Satan, they're trying to draw us onto the opposite side. So we need to make sure that daily we study our Bible, we open our hearts to be examined by the Word of God, we open our hearts to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit, and we do whatever God tells us as we study His Word. The third thing is that we must not love the world. Anybody who loves the world does not love God. So we have to make sure that each decision we are making sure we are doing it the right way, not the way the world wants it. That is a condition to have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Okay, the fourth one is to carry your cross. Jesus carried His own cross. All of us, there will be a calling on our lives by the same Jesus to say, this thing that is so important to you, can you give it up for me? And God doesn't give everybody the same thing, different things, because God knows our heart. So He knows what idol we are building up instead of God. And God will ask us to give up those things. And we have to, because that's our cross to bear, our cross to carry. God will not give us what we are not able to carry. He will help us to make sure that we're able to do that. So that's what Jesus is calling upon all of us. You remember the story of that rich man who said, I'll do everything for God. Jesus said, yeah, go and give away your money and come and follow me. Sell all your possessions, give it to the poor and come and follow me. And he went away sorrowfully because that money has become his idol. No matter what it is, it could be some people, you might be homeless, you might have to travel around, you might have to live in tents like Abraham did. You know, all those kind of things. God knows them. And then he will ask us to do something that will tell us, even us, we will then believe that we are heavenly citizenship. And to finish it up, is that we have to be ambassadors of Christ. If you are an ambassador of this country and you are placed in another country, you have to represent the United Kingdom in that country, wherever you place. It's the same with God. Wherever we are, wherever God has sent us, we have to be his ambassador. And I'll just read that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, 20-21. He said, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Just like Apostle Paul was an ambassador for Christ even when in chains, so we should also be ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all our calling. We are not just going to take that heavenly citizen and wait until we are glorified in this new body. But we are to hold on and press on and keep pressing on. And whilst we do that, we should minister to other people that God will bring close to us. May God help and empower all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.